Friends, did you catch
that detail there in that scripture reading just now?
Luke's story of the disciples' encounter with the risen Christ on the road to Emmaus is one of my very favorite stories in all of the Gospels. But in order to really appreciate what's being said there, you have to listen closely for one particular detail. They had been walking with him and talking with him for a long stretch of road, a 7-mile walk, Luke tells us. And for that whole way, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And they walked and they talked. And it seemed like the disciples did most of the talking while we're left to imagine that Jesus is knowingly shaking his head and listening to what they're saying. And when they finally arrive at the house where they're staying, they invite him to dinner. And when he was there at the table with them, he broke the bread. And it says that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Recognized him, that is, in the breaking of the bread. Did you catch that detail? It's an important detail because it suggests that there might just be a link. A link between what happens around the table in the breaking of the bread with the opening of our eyes. A link between the experience of what we do when we come to the table and our continued experience of the risen Christ. Throughout the season of Lent this year, I've been talking to us, preaching through this series on Holy Communion and going into some depth about what Holy Communion means. And this sermon series I've been calling, you may have noticed it already, Making Ready for Supper Time. And with these two scripture readings that we're reading today, we come very near to the subject of why we call it communion in the first place. Communion means meeting up with. Communion means encountering him. Communion means having an experience of him together that is eye-opening, revealing, enlightening, that is spiritual. And that is mystical even, and that draws us into a prayerful space that is as much about feasting on the meal as it is about feasting on his presence, communing with Christ. Through this series, I've been having us focus most closely on what Paul has been writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and that short verse that I excerpted for us today, he says, "For all who eat and drink without discerning the body," discerning, "eat and drink judgment on themselves." And as we've seen in weeks past already, if the Corinthians themselves had discerned the body in their communion celebration, they wouldn't have deprived a share of their church, half their church, of what was there on the table. If they had approached the table discerningly, they might have had an experience that was more like Emmaus and less like this experience, which is more notable for how different it is from Emmaus. Friends, what I want to have us lean in on closely today is that core aspect of what we do when we come to the Lord's table that has us looking closely with spiritual eyes for his presence, that has us doing some discerning together, that invites us all prayerfully to awaken our awareness of how he is here with us in our celebration at the table. You know, one of the things that I appreciate the most about Luke's story of the road to Emmaus is this before and after aspect to it that reminds us of how possible it is, how normal it is even for us all to be able to miss mysteries and depths of riches that are so often right there in front of our very faces. For some strange reason, you're going to have to bear with me on this. It reminded me this week of my 7th grade English class. And one of the things that I remember most about seventh grade English class was that that for me was the year of tons and tons of memorization. Tons and tons. And poor teachers. Poor teachers. I hope you all know that there is a special lazy boy up there in heaven, waiting just for those teachers, somewhere between the pearly gates and the crystal sea, because the tragedies of desecration that teachers bear witness to day in and day out are beyond unspeakable. You know, there's some well-meaning committee somewhere. I imagine them. They're floating off in the ether. Some well-meaning committee, I'm sure, had spent hours and hours carefully culling together all of the great masterpieces of literature and poetry in the English language with high-minded hopes that these books and this poetry would inspire and transport and open the eyes of some seventh graders who would forever be transformed through new depths of perspective. My English class was the period right before lunch. And I remember the day that we all had to recite one by one in front of the class Juliet's famous speech from the balcony. And the first kid goes, "Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo? Deny thy father and refuse thy name." And the clock keeps ticking. And the second kid goes, "Romeo, oh Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo?" Two down, 26 to go. And remember, this is one of the great masterpieces of poetry and drama in the English language. Romeo and Juliet are madly in love and they're forever torn apart, held apart because their families are long, bitter rivals. It's one of the most heart-wrenching predicaments in all of literature. 10th kid. 11th kid, "Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?" And everyone in the classroom is watching the seconds tick by on that clock as we get closer and closer to lunch. And then finally, we get down to the 28th kid. And the teacher tells him before he gets up and recites his version of that famous speech to, "Hey, why don't you just take your backpack up there with you and your lunch with you? We're going to leave for lunch right after you get done with your recitation." So the kid goes up to the front and he throws down his backpack junkily on the floor, holding wide open. And he puts down on the podium there his lunch sack, which is a clear Ziploc peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and he smacks it right there before he gets going on his rendition. Grape jelly that day that had been smushed and smashed and smeared all over the inside of that Ziploc bag, and it looked like it was screaming for help, "Release me from this place." And then he begins, "Romeo, oh Romeo." No heart, no awareness, no discernment of the words or what they meant or what they're talking about or what they're telling us even. Just a smashed, hot peanut butter and jelly rendition of a poem. It's possible, isn't it, for our hearts and minds to be elsewhere, not seeking, not paying attention, when the mouth is speaking profound and inviting words. One of the most important things that communion invites us to do is to commune with Christ. To commune. To come to this table expectant, discerning, prayerfully searching, spiritually aware, to look for where Christ can be met with us today as if we too were sitting around that table in Emmaus. And for those of us who grew up Protestant, here's something that I want you to hear especially. The spirituality of seeking Christ's presence at the table is not just a Roman Catholic thing. Hear me on that. You know, there are a lot of historic breaks and fissures in the global life of the church, and that is absolutely true. And one of the deepest of all, if we're just going to be honest and name it today, is that between Protestants and the Roman church. And you know, from a Protestant side of that, we have to admit that on more than one occasion, we have sometimes had a tendency to overdraw the difference. To overdraw the differences, especially in our moments of high tension. Communities do that with one another, don't they? When they're not getting along very well, they have a tendency to exaggerate how different they are. But this is not one of them. This is not one of the differences. Yes, we differ in our understandings of just how exactly that presence happens, but not in the fact that there is a presence. Not in the fact that God meets us at this table and that we are supposed to come expectant and eye-opened, ready to meet Christ here. Just like at Emmaus. Just like at Emmaus. Every single Christian of every stripe is called to take up a spiritual exercise every time we come to the table. We are being invited in this sacrament to engage in some holy looking around together. And yes, together, just like at the Emmaus table. That isn't just about individual experiences, but about community, shared experiences. One of the things that I think would be profound and that we really should be trying to do when we come for Holy Communion is to really be more self-reflective about our experience here. Could you imagine this with me for a moment. Could you imagine that if every single one of us kept a communion journal, for example? Here's what it meant for me today to come to the table. Here's what it felt like. Here's what I sensed when I was there. Here's what it opened up for me today in my heart. Maybe one day you discover today was a particularly difficult experience at the table. I had some things on my heart today that I was dealing with, and owning up to them there in the very presence of Jesus was real heart work of the hardest kind. You know, I had an experience once, several years ago, when I was in a medium-sized group of people, in which there was a lot of tension and history and torn up relationships. And I remember one person in particular decided that they weren't going to come to the table that day because they couldn't pretend to share in this community. And I myself found it very difficult to celebrate at the table that day. And I felt that day, my experience that day was that Christ was at that table staring us all down. Lovingly, compassionately, to be sure, but also with a hint of challenge. I felt him speaking into my heart that day. I know that you don't want to come to this table today, with these people especially, but I'm asking you to come and experience my presence here anyway. Anyway. One of my hardest communion experiences. And what if every single time we came to commune here, we tracked our prayerful conversations, something like that. We came ready to encounter him with today's baggage like that, and then just to feast and take sanctuary there in his presence like that. Come to the table with a heart ready to discern his body, his presence, Paul says. Come and make this your Emmaus Road moment of contact. Come prepared to find out not only where his presence is here with you today, but where his presence is here among us today. Because the first thing that happens at that table around Emmaus is the moment he vanishes away and goes away from them, that there was this beautiful moment of sharing among those disciples and discovering together, forming a church into being through the fellowship of their shared experience. weren't our hearts burning as he spoke to us on that road? Did you feel it? I certainly did. This piece of art that I brought with me today is entitled Eucharistic Universe. And what I see in it there, the reason I brought it today, is because what I see happening there is Christ somewhere off there in the background offering himself back to the world as bread, as a wafer. And in that offering, in that wafer of the world there in the center of that image, is an offering not only of himself as presence, but himself as a presence that binds and unites all of those faces surrounding him there in that picture. It's almost as if it's saying that their shared experience of him is what unites those people together on that world wafer. Because they can all say in their own voices, I felt him too. I sensed him too. And they can all gather around the table and share with one another what it is for them to be present to his presence there in this way. What if we all renewed our intention today, church, to discover him here, to experience him together here, to rediscover that the first and most basic call of Holy Communion is to meet up again with Christ here. The Apostle Paul fully expects that if we did that, it would change our whole outlook. If we did that, it would change our experience of the world. If we did that, it would change our way of being in the world, change our relationships with one another. If we come ready to meet him here, at the table, church, Christ still waits, ready to meet us all where we all sit today. He is still at work, shaping and retooling our loves and our yearnings and our desire. We are meant to understand and to know and to feel in our bones that here we encounter his grace in this most potent and powerful of ways. Because here we're meant to know that we meet with him. And all of God's people said, Amen.